podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback. And as always, I am joined by my lovely, lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, man?
It's nice to be saying words again on this podcast, and it's nice to be providing hashtag content for the hashtag people, because you know what? This is the time of year when they actually really need it. They're dying for some content.
It's true. It's been a very long time since we've done this podcast. In fact, it was in 2015 the last time we did this podcast. Look, we need a break, just like anyone else needs a break. This is our off season. This needs to happen.
I've been on vacation in the Bahamas for 9 weeks now. So
right.
I think every fantasy football podcaster has been, you know, on exotic vacations this whole time.
No, man, I go to the gym, man. There is no off season.
The gym. Well, you live in Charlotte. That is an exotic vacation.
I'm like JJ Watt. I don't take time off. I'm the guy that after my team wins the Super Bowl, the next day, you know, they say like, "Oh, are you going to celebrate?" And then get back to work. You can't. Right. You don't celebrate.
Right. You're up. What was it? I think when Colin Kaepernick lost the Super Bowl to the Ravens, he was doing sprints after the game.
Right. Like, so stupid.
Like, wait, are you like? You need to chill out. Like, right. That is over. Even J.J. Watt would be like, I think you just went too far, Colin.
Yeah. Well, it's the guys that like it's the same thing. Like when like basketball players after games, they're just standing at the free throw line in an empty arena, just shooting free throws, as if like the practice after that game is going to be. It's like they have like some sort of bonus, and it's like two times the amount of effect that it would have if they were practicing on a random Thursday.
I find it very odd that, you know, a professional basketball player has shot untold tens of thousands of free throws, hundreds of thousands maybe in their life, but this one or these extra 10, that's going
to
do it.
That's going to do it. Yeah. has nothing to do with looking good for the media and for the audience.
I mean, you definitely peak right at some point and then that's it. My experience as a ball boy for the Washington Bullets, which tells you how old I am.
Wait, you were okay. Why has this never come up in the podcast?
I thought I mentioned it before, but no.
I'm pretty sure this is like a Larry Fitzgerald story.
What do you mean?
Because he was the ball boy for the Vikings.
Oh right. Except for I didn't go on this.
except you're a dad runner living outside of Washington D.C.
Right. I didn't go on to become the next Jeff Hornacek, which I thought I was going to be, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so it was 1996. My dad had some connection to the Bullets general manager, and I got in as a ball boy, and it was for an Orlando Magic game with Shaq and Penny and Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott, Horace Grant, and so I was pretty psyched. But yeah, so I watched Juwan Howard shoot like 100 free throws in a row. And I was passing the ball back to him.
So we're talking like a one game sample.
It's just one. Yeah. Just one. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm 12 years old. I was thinking about, so Juwan Howard still has to just shoot 100 free throws. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, he wasn't even a good free throw shooter. I mean, you just give up at some point. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But my day was made when Horace Grant crashed into me. We went barreling into the seats, and I was drenched in his sweat.
But this is so you probably were, like, knowing you were probably rooting for the Magic.
I was a huge bandwagon Magic fan.
Yeah, of course you were. You loved Penny Hardaway, you loved Horace Grant.
My hero is Dennis Scott, who was just this fat guy. Sure. Who stood behind the three-point line and shot threes all day. Right. I mean, he had no function beyond that, and that was my dream. I was like, I just want to stand behind the three-point line and just chuck it, just like Dennis Scott.
Well, that's like punters. Like, who wouldn't want to be a punter in today's NFL?
Yeah, no, listen, you know, what is it? Mamas don't raise your kids to be cowboys. Mamas raise your kids to be punters, yeah, or kickers.
Yes, please, please. When I was in Virginia for Thanksgiving, I was talking to Amanda's cousin who's like in high school, and I was like, dude, he plays football. I was like, dude, you need to start kicking. Start kicking now. Get into it now, because that is where the money's at. Because it's not really where the money's at. It's just like if you're good, that's where the money would be.
Absolutely. Well, and longevity, and you know, you're not gonna die at 50 or be disabled at 45 years old. When my brother-in-law was 13, I bought him a legit kicking tee for his birthday.
Nice.
And I was like, you need to learn how to do this, because this is the way, this is like the way you can be in football. He really wanted to be an athlete at the time. So he didn't actually follow through, but it was a good thought.
You know, I when I was growing up, when I was probably in eighth or ninth grade, I bought a bunch of PVC pipe and we built a field goal. And we used to drag it out to our cul-de-sac, and we used to just kick field goals all day.
That's awesome. I would have loved to do that.
Yeah, and now I still suck ass at kicking field goals, but it was awesome.
Who was your favorite kicker as a kid?
I don't know if I really had one.
I mean, for the Steelers, no?
No, because all Steelers kickers were like historically bad. Like Chris Brown, they had. Remember Chris Brown? He went to the Texans and stuff. They had Chris Brown for a little while. I mean, like, Jeff Reed was fun because he had those thunder thighs and it was hilarious.
That was funny.
But no, I didn't really like have it. Why? Did you have a kicker that you were fond of?
I was obsessed with Pete Stojanovic.
Oh, right.
Kid. Obsessed. I mean, he actually did the commercial, you know, the Jordan Bird McDonald's commercials, sure. You know, off the rafters, off this, blah, 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 you know, nothing but net. He did. So Stojanovic did one of those commercials with the kicker for Washington, whose name escapes me right now, and I'm embarrassed to say that. But they Chip Lowry? Did I just black out and say Chip Lowry? If it's Chip, I know our listeners.
I don't know kicker history very well.
Our listeners are screaming into the in.
Like usually I feel confident that I'm there for you if that happens, but yeah. But right now I'm not.
Well, anyway, it was a very fun commercial, and Pete Stojanovic was my hero. And then I tried to gravitate to Orlando Mare later, but I just
Orlando Mare, yeah. We had Norm Johnson in the 90s that I was okay with, but
I remember that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, didn't really care for kickers. That's probably the difference between our fantasy analysis.
Absolutely. I mean, people are asking me for kicker dynasty advice, so.
Oh, exactly. Well, we decided to surprise everyone with this podcast. Didn't promote it, didn't do anything, just wanted it to be sitting in your podcast queue tomorrow morning. But what we're going to do today is talk very quickly, very briefly. We're going to try to be more frequent, as frequent hopefully as we are during the season. But today, just kind of talk about some of the off-season moves that went down, and not look at the bad moves and the moves that we don't like, but for fantasy purposes, we're going to look at five moves that we really do like, and we're just going to dig in, we're just going to talk, and just get a podcast out there, because you guys need the hashtag content.
Well, I mean, we're dropping the podcast like a rapper drops an album just out of nowhere. Right,
right, right. Except you don't have to download Tidal to get the entire album.
Right, but in our inflated sense of ego is telling us that we're that big of a
deal. That's exactly what's happening right now. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that, you know, everyone's just been waiting for this day for a while. They've been telling their wives about just getting pumped for the next Living the Stream drop. Well, it's dropped, all right, and we're going to get into it. So, with that being said, Denny, I guess I'll kick things off about talking about these off-season moves that look sweet, that look fun, that look like they're going to positively impact the fantasy football landscape. And I'm going to talk about a guy that I didn't think I would be talking about at the beginning of the offseason, and that is Cobby Fleener. I think that we've seen a lot of analysis already on Cobby Fleener out there. A lot of analysts are into him, and for really, really good reason. I mean, we know what the Saints offense has done for tight ends in the past with Jimmy Graham, Ben Watson last season. And I say Ben Watson because, guys, Ben Watson had the seventh most targets of any tight end last year.
Oh, my God.
He had 110 targets last year. Jimmy Graham never had fewer than 125 targets. I mean, look, you're looking at Ben Watson last season at 16.5% of the market share in that offense, in a Drew Brees-led offense. Drew Brees is still a very good quarterback. You know, my based on some early projections that I have, I had Gary Barnidge with the most tight end targets next season, and that's only because there's quite literally no one there right now. Delanie Walker just got bumped down a little bit just because there's more people there to throw to. But really, for me, it's Gary Barnidge, and then it's Jordan Reed, and then it's this group of Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce, and Kobe Fleener. So if Fleener is top five in targets next season, and he's getting passes from Drew Brees, are we going to be surprised if Kobe Fleener is a top five tight end next season in fantasy football?
I mean, I said this the other day on Twitter, in all seriousness. I think saying top five is fairly on the conservative side of things.
Yeah, it could be. It could easily be.
I think that top seven is definitely conservative, and I wouldn't quibble with anyone who said he's a top three tight end this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so, but on the other side of this Kobe Fleener move, something else happened. There's a trickle effect, and that's with the next guy that I think you want to talk about a little bit. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, obviously Dwayne Allen gets, supposedly the full-time gig at tight end in Indianapolis. You know, he's proven very efficient over the years with the very small number of targets that he's received. I think that there's more to read into the situation than just pure numbers, though. Here's a guy who talked a lot about, you know, after he re-signed with Indy, he talked a lot about, you know, the team promised me this and promised me that, and I'm going to have a new role. And you know, Chud, the offensive coordinator and tight end guru over the years, really has talked up Allen as more than a blocker. And you know, obviously he is an excellent blocker. He's going at tight end 17 right now, I think, in MFL 10s. And I know that's not really a great measure of where he's going to be in 3 or 4 months.
Right,
but
right.
I think that as the Fleener train possibly goes berserk and we're going to see his ADP spike, the Allen train is kind of, I'm guessing, you know, in most leagues is going to kind of stay put, you know, just kind of stay where it is. So I, you know, there is a point where I might not be willing to go in on Fleener, depending on the ADP. But Allen, I think he will be more appealing than Fleener from an ADP standpoint, you know, come July and August.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited.
I can say that I mean, I think the Allen ADP, I'm assuming, is a little bit different than what we would expect just because of where he was before the offseason hit, just because he wasn't the primary pass catching tight end in that offense, you know.
Right.
But now, so of the MFL 10s that I'm doing, at least, I see Fleener today went in the mid eighth in a draft that I was in.
Oh.
But Dwayne Allen, I got Dwayne Allen in the 12th, for instance.
Okay.
Which, you know, I can understand I can understand Fleener in the 8th. Like, I think that's proper value overall. I could even see him going in the 7th. But like you said, the Dwayne Allen stuff, I mean, there's no other real red zone threat in that offense.
Exactly. And when Fleener has been out, Allen has, for the most part, thrived, especially two years ago. I mean, last season was a dumpster fire, you know, for the Colts. It's hard to draw really any conclusions about anybody in that offense with Hasselbeck playing all those snaps. But
right.
The year before, Allen was very good when Fleener was out.
Yeah, he just has to stay healthy. That's really a key for him. Because he's struggled with that throughout his career. I was hoping the Steelers were gonna try to get Dwayne Allen this offseason with Heath Miller's retirement, but instead they went out and signed Ladarius Green, which is really fun, obviously, you know, for fantasy owners, just because we've gotten so excited about Ladarius Green over the last couple seasons, and he's definitely not returned the favor. But we know that he's a freak. We know that he has great receiving ability, and he's actually not bad at the line. He's a good blocker. I think, you know, from a real football standpoint, I certainly understand the Ladarius signing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he has been disappointing in the if you were expecting him to emerge as the guy, like an every week starting tight end. Antonio Gates, the ghost of Antonio Gates, you know, obviously crushed his fantasy prospects. But, you know, in four games that Gates has missed over the past two seasons, Green has averaged 14.5 points, fantasy points, that's PPR. And that includes, that includes 0.75 touchdowns and 4.5 catches a game. So, you know, he's proven that when he gets an opportunity that he can capitalize and has capitalized. I think that, you know, just the way that Todd Haley has used tight ends leaves something to be desired here. Unless mm-hmm. you know, they plan on deploying Green as like this new weapon and deploying him in different ways.
Right.
But I love, I mean, potentially, I think that he could be, you know, a really top end option. But I'm also afraid of that ADP going haywire. You know, right now we're just talking about MFL 10 players who are very committed. When I say committed, I mean insane.
Right.
And so, you know, we haven't had the four letter network talking up Ladarius Green yet. So when that starts happening, I think you're really going to have your commitment to a guy like Ladarius is going to be tested as far as ADP goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a move that this is all stemming from the Martavis Bryant suspension. Like I don't think they go out and get a guy like Ladarius Green without the Martavis Bryant suspension looming. And the reason I say that is because he's clearly someone that they need in the Reds. Like, sure, maybe they would have, but I think it just exaggerated that a bit.
I'm so sad about Martavis.
Yeah, it's a very sad thing. But the thing, like, so, you know, he's going to be the red zone guy, if you will, for the Steelers outside of Antonio Brown. And to this point with the Martavis thing, I do want to just go on a little aside here, because I've seen Marcus Wheaton's ADP rise, and I've been very vocal about my Marcus Wheaton hatred, not only on this podcast, but on Twitter as well. I just don't like Marcus Wheaton. I don't think he's very good. But it's really interesting to me that I'm seeing Marcus Wheaton's ADP go up. I mean, I've seen him be drafted in the eighth and the ninth round of these MFL 10s. And mostly because we have a five-game sample from last season when Martavis Bryant was not with the Steelers. He was suspended to start the season, and then he was hurt for a game. So he missed the first five games of the season. Granted, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't there the entire time either, but look at these market shares in this offense. So in those five games, Marcus Wheaton had 12.24% of the team's targets, and then after that, he had over 13%, meaning it really didn't affect him. I understand, again, Ben Roethlisberger could have changed that. He probably favors Marcus Wheaton more than someone like Michael Vick would, because Ben Roethlisberger is a good quarterback and he can make bad wide receivers relevant. But the one thing that's crazy about this is Darius Heyward-Bey saw 17.69% of the team targets when Martavis Bryant was sidelined. And when Martavis Bryant came back, we're looking at DHB having 5.46% of the targets. So Darius Heyward-Bey is really the guy, or Sammy Coates, depending on how that all plays out. Those are really the guys that are going to be impacted by the Martavis thing. And I really think that all of that kind of combined, Ladarius Green might not have the volume that a guy like Dwayne Allen or Kobe Fleener for sure he won't touch. But even like Dwayne Allen, I could see Ladarius in that 70 to 75 target range, but there's no one that can catch touchdowns in that offense. Like Ladarius right. Green is a double digit touchdown, 8 to 10 touchdown ceiling guy this season, if not more. I mean, there's a really, really high ceiling there. And that's why I think this move in general is great from a fantasy standpoint.
So you're not on Coates at all then?
No, I mean, I'm on Coates. I just don't think that it's like this locked in thing where he's like, if you look, they signed DHB like a week before this Martavis suspension got dropped. And everyone was like, oh, why would Darius Heyward-Bey take this deal with a team where he's going to be like fifth on the depth chart? But I don't really think he's going to be. I think he's going to start the season off third on the depth chart. I think that he's going to play a similar role that Martavis did, just not as well as Martavis Bryant did. And I think that he will probably see maybe 10 to 12% of the team targets this season. And that's with Sammy Coates. That's assuming Sammy Coates becomes something at some point. If he doesn't, then DHB could become a great, he's already a decent MFL 10 value. I've drafted him a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, and young guys have, you know, have a tough road to hoe at with the Steelers, right? I mean, Martavis forced their hand 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been that way. Antonio Brown was the same way. Mike Wallace right. a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that's just how they roll. It's a good point. All right, the next guy that I want to talk about, this is kind of, so, okay, overall the tight end landscape has clearly changed. It's very, very deep now, because you go from, even like Martellus Bennett going to a team where he can still be relevant with another tight end there, that opens then up Zach Miller, for instance, to be a relevant tight end. And there's all these, you know, your boy Jared Cook, man, going to Green Bay.
Yeah. I love him best ball, but I don't, we can talk about it later, but I'm not really in love with his season long prospect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'll probably be a streamer at the end of the day. Sure. But you know, there's still, I mean, that's a very viable streamer considering the offense that he's playing in. So the tight end position in general just got a little deep, but let's shift our focus. I want to talk about running back specifically. I want to talk about this DeMarco Murray move because of what it did, to the Eagles backfield, not to DeMarco Murray. We know what DeMarco Murray is for the most part. I don't think, you know, he's going to be drafted fairly high, so it's not worth like getting into the equity question per se at this point, because he's probably going to see 250 plus touches and so on and so forth. But what I'm really interested in is Ryan Matthews. Right now, Ryan Matthews is the guy in Philadelphia. They're probably going to draft a running back, I would assume, for competition and for depth, because they don't really have any depth right now. But dude, I think I'm a Ryan Matthews apologist, and I never really like came to the realization until I was like preparing for this podcast.
Really? You're just realizing it. I think I am in that group too, but I realized it a while ago.
Yeah, like I really like Ryan Matthews, and I mean, people give him such a hard time because of all the injuries and stuff, but I dug into some of the advanced analytics that we use in NumberFire, the net expected points stuff and so on and so forth. So We use our net expected points metric. Again, I mean, so many people who listen to this podcast, I don't mean so many people listen to it, I mean of the people that listen to this podcast, they know what NEP is all about, but it's essentially how many real points these players are adding for their teams. And so rushing is less effective than passing. So every tote this past season was minus 0.01 rushing net expected points per rush. So, you know, it's basically you're losing 0.01 points every time you rush the ball, which isn't that surprising because there's a lot of 2 and 3 yard gains whenever you're running. Ryan Matthews was above that average. In fact, every single year other than one since he's entered the NFL, he's been above average in that department. But then the one metric I really like to use with running backs it's more of a predictive one is success rate. And success rate is more of a binary. It's a success or failure. So if a run positively impacts net expected points, then it was deemed a success. And if it doesn't, then it's deemed a failure. And then successes divided by total rushes is your success rate. Ryan Matthews last season had a had a success rate that was over 46%. And the average last season, and mostly the last 5 or 6 years, is between 40 and 42%. But let me just read you his success rates over the past 5 years. It's been 42.34%, nearly 47%, 42%, 45%, and then again, 46%. So wow. Ryan Matthews has been out of control good. Meanwhile, DeMarco Murray last year had a 33% success rate. So
that's not good.
So yeah, I mean, you know, we know DeMarco Murray was bad last year, but this isn't me saying, you know, look at his yards per carry or look at his, it's not as if a fumble is completely making that success rate number horrible, because again, this is a binary thing. A fumble is just as bad as a failure, as a 1 yard run on a 3rd and 2, for instance. So,
right.
It's really, really eye opening. I think Ryan Matthews, if he continues to hold this job, is going to be a great value in fantasy drafts. His ADP has not caught up to the fact that he could be the top guy in that offense. I mean, I got him in the 8th round the other day in an NFL 10, which
wow.
doesn't make any sense to me. That he could be a 230 plus touch back, 220 plus touch back, and he's being drafted in the 8th round. It's crazy to me. So because of the DeMarco Murray move, which you know, from a real football standpoint, from a fantasy football standpoint, just feels very blah. I'm really excited about Ryan Matthews and his potential this season.
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing for a Ryan Matthews truther like yourself or me is that he's hurt people so badly.
Yeah.
You know, if fantasy owners have been burned alive by Ryan Matthews over the years, including the year in which he was, I think, the third running back off the board, maybe.
Yeah.
On average, and it was a debacle. He was injured. He came back. He was terrible. He wasn't involved. He was benched. He was injured again. So you'll see a lot of this every offseason. What do we see? You know, Matthews burned me 5 years ago. He's dead to me. I'm never drafting him again. I think that will really. I think that has held up to an unbelievable extent over the years, and I think that it will continue to. And I'm fine with it. I'm very cool with that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that like. I don't know, this whole offseason, you know, there's been a lot of moving parts. We're going to see a lot of different offenses next season. There's a lot of quarterback changes and so on. But it's weird. It's not like there's been like crazy big names that have moved. It's just that there's been a lot of pieces that have moved.
But I think that these moves, for the most part, has potentially could be very good for the hashtag brand, I'll be honest.
I totally agree there. One of those moves was Brock Osweiler to Houston. That's not a play that we're necessarily thrilled about, but what we kind of are is Lamar Miller going to Houston. Have you been a Lamar Miller guy in the past?
I mean, last year the fantasy equity scores that I do for the Fake Football, it had him fairly high, if I remember correctly, enough where I was taking him quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, I love his opportunity, and like everybody else. You know, I want to see what he can do with more than 8 carries in a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Again, just like doing some initial projections, if he gets like 58% of the touches in the backfield, which he could go over that. I mean, the best guys in the league will be 65 to 70. If he gets like 58%, he's still looking at a good 260 rushes just because that's the way that offense operates. And they don't just it's not like they're going to go out and sign a guy like Lamar Miller and not use him.
Exactly. And on top of that, Miller proved last year that he was more than adequate catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
You know, the Dolphins faced a lot of negative game script last year, every year, really.
Yeah.
For all time. But and he did, if I remember correctly, he did quite well in those situations. So it's, you know, he's not a guy who, you know, will be or should be taken off the field, you know, when it comes down to third down and junk time, garbage time.
Yeah, they're replacing an every down back and Arian Foster with an every down back and Lamar Miller. So should be interesting. I think I honestly think, you know, right now I've seen him go in the second round, but I could see him go in the late first as we approach August. I think there's going to be far enough hype. I think bigger names that are bigger analysts that I mean, like a guy like Evan Silva, those kind of guys. I already know that Silva is into Lamar Miller. He tweets things. He says things positively about Lamar Miller. It's going to have a trickle-down effect. And Miller's going to pretty easily be, I think, a late first-round pick.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay a premium if you want him in redraft, for sure.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so that's it for the offseason moves that we think will end up being big or impactful in the fantasy football landscape. Again, it's one of those situations where I don't think there were just, like, massive big name moves. I think it was more so you get a lot of those mid-range round, later round guys that are switching teams and going to more favorable situations, and you're now basically getting a deeper pool for streamers at this point.
I think tight end could be very different this year, as far as not talking just about streamers, but about viable every week starters. I think that there could be kind of a glut of those kind of guys available.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to keep it short, the podcast short, just because we're trying to kind of ease our way back in and do this podcast thing again because we were on vacation for so long. but before we go, I do want to introduce something that we are doing this year because we wanted to kind of engage more with our listeners and because doing that is good hashtag branding. But this season, we are going to host a party. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to host a
Twitch.
That would be awesome. Maybe we should have a Living the Stream party, like a real life party. And we meet, we go like have like a cabin and just like just party in the cabin with Living the Stream listeners.
Yeah, you're speaking my language right now. I would love to do that. And the best part is that the listeners could pay for it. I think that
If you guys pay for it, we're done.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the greatest gift to our listeners is to have for them to pay for the cabin and all the booze and the food. You know what? You're welcome, guys. Let's just do this.
Yeah. You guys are welcome for what we've brought to your ears the last 2 years. So get us a damn cabin.
Send $400 to 7100.
Anyway, but we're gonna host a 12-team league this year. And with that league, you're going to play against Denny and I, not because I think or we think that we're these like amazing people that you need to play against, but because we want to play against you guys. But you'll play against us, which leaves 10 open spots. Now, you might be wondering, how can I get in this league? I really want to whoop Denny's ass. And really, I mean, I totally understand because I want to play in every league I possibly can with Denny just so I can beat him.
Well, you know what? This is fair because every league I've played in with you in, I have pooped my pants.
Not this past Apex year, but the Apex League last year, I think you had a decent team.
Yeah, I got to the playoffs.
Yeah, you were fine. I lost in the first round of the playoffs in that league last year. But I whooped some serious ass this year, I will say that.
Yeah, no, right. You were literally chopping people's heads off, and I was like happy. I was happy to score 100 points, and you would have 100 points after Thursday night sometime.
Anyway, so yeah, if you want to beat Denny, we're gonna have an application online. I'm gonna put this with each podcast that I post. You can just send the answers to this. I'll have an email address for you to send it to this application. So the application is 6 questions long. Ideally, you would send like a little snapshot, a little picture of you, because what we're going to do is we're going to kind of document this league. We're going to have people come on the podcast who's in this league, and we're going to kind of let the listeners become attached to the people in this league, because we're going to be making fun of the people that end up in this league, just as they should be making fun of us.
But also clothes on with the snapshot.
Yeah, please, no nudies. But I haven't used that term ever in my life.
I've never heard anyone say that. It sounds like something Al Bundy would say.
Definitely have never, ever said that. So, all right, so 6 questions. Ready? I'm gonna read the questions, okay, that are going to be on the website. You can think about them while you're listening to the questions, but you need to send an email. The email will be there. You need to send the answers. Denny and I will sift through them, and then over the next couple weeks, we'll find the 10 people that are going to be in the league, and then each week for about 10 minutes or so, we'll bring someone on to introduce themselves and get to know them so that you enjoy what happens in the league more throughout the season. All right.
Absolutely.
Question 1. Is Alex Smith God or Jesus? Okay.
Very good question. That's a theological, really, question.
Yeah, it's a great question to start out with. It's a great question to start out with because you really get to know a person by how they answer that question.
And you get to know your Lord and Savior. So go ahead.
Exactly. the next question is, you're having a Memorial Day barbecue and Rob Gronkowski, Jay Cutler, and Matthew Stafford are there. Who grills the burgers, gets the beer, or makes the music playlist, and why? Okay, mm-hmm. So that's another. You're gonna learn a lot. I have an answer to that one that I'll share, maybe in a couple weeks once we find everyone, and it's the right answer. The third question is Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2, and why? And the reason I brought that up is because we've talked about that many times in this podcast.
Right.
The fourth one is, this is more of a fun question that like you would get on other podcasts, but, what was the worst pick that you've ever made in a fantasy football draft?
I love that question.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. Can you
answer that?
Probably like Justin Hunter year.
So you spent a 13th rounder?
No. I mean, like, but expert leagues, like, I would reach for him and stuff. I don't know. That was just off the top of my head.
Can I tell you mine?
Yeah.
Mine is, bar none, Steve Slayton, 2008.
Oh, yeah.
I was sweating bullets during that draft because I knew it would come down to him or Chris Johnson. And I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. I don't know. Well, Slayton's supposed to get more carries, and Lendell White is in Tennessee, and Chris Johnson is might not get a lot. I'll go with Slayton, and then of course Chris Johnson has the 2,000 yard year, the epic year. Never, you know, I think it was the most fantasy points from a running back ever, right?
Yeah, and then at least it was up there. That was the I believe that was the Lamont Jordan year too.
Oh God, it was.
Yeah,
and. And then, I got to watch Chris Johnson go berserk all year, and Steve Slayton was working at the Subway near my house by week 8.
right, exactly. So that was question 4. Question 5. This is my favorite. Should Denny be replaced on Living the Stream? Who should replace him? Okay. And then number 6 will be interesting too, because we've done a lot of podcasts now. We say a lot of stupid stuff. And number 6 is, what's your favorite Living the Stream moment? And just explain yourself with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the 6 questions. I'll post them on lateroundqb.com. You can send them in via an email, send a little cute picture of you. And once we gather all that information, we'll then publish the 10 people that will be in the league. And hopefully we have a really great time this season, and we'll kind of do some updates throughout the season during the regular shows that we do during the season. But I think this is going to be a fun little off-season thing, and then at the same time, the draft day, we'll set a time and we will record the podcast while the draft is going on, and then we'll publish that as the podcast.
I'm so scared that I'm going to be terrible in this league. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm expecting you and I to finish 11th and 12th.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are going to see that, you know, fantasy writers, analysts are just human beings who sometimes have horrendous teams.
Yeah,
so
who just spend an ungodly amount of time writing up recommendations and stuff.
And that was honestly the first, quote unquote, expert league that I was ever in, I guess, like 2012. I was like stunned to see some of what was happening with drafts and early results, because you just think that you're like your fantasy football heroes are out there just dominating everyone all the time. It doesn't mean that they're bad at what they do.
Right.
It just is part of the game. But so it could be a really shocking and horrible experience for everybody involved. Let's hope so.
It should be interesting. All right, Denny, it was good to hear your voice again.
I know, you too, man. Do you want to tell the listeners where your great silver microphone is right now?
Oh my God. So I have an echo problem in my office, and this has been going on since I moved into my house last year. It's been about a year now, over a year. But I built, like, literally 10 minutes before the podcast started. I got my wife and I got this cardboard box, and we put stuff in there, like mattress pad stuff. Egg carton type stuff.
Egg carton, right.
And we put it in, but it's just like regular foam. And we put it in this box, and then I stuck my microphone in the middle of this box, and it looks like a homeless man built it while he was just hammered drunk in the middle of the night.
It looks like a microphone seeking shelter in the pouring.
Right. Well, no, you put it best that it looks like a seventh grade science project.
And look, there's
diorama. Is that what they're called?
I don't know, but I one time had a seventh grade science project in which I had to be able to throw an egg out a three-story window.
Me too.
Third-story window, and it had to not crack.
Yeah, the egg drop. I got a 2 out of 10 on that.
I did horribly. I mostly blame my mom, but that's neither here nor there.
I decided to put my egg. I don't know why this is a good idea, but you know, like marshmallow, like the fluff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put it in that, and that shit did not work.
I you know what I was doing at the last second? I remember right before it was my turn to throw my situation out the window.
Yeah.
I was. I was stuffing tissue into the thing that I had built, just like hoping that like some, like a little more padding could do it. I don't know.
A tissue?
I mean, like more like lots of tissue.
I'm just picturing you like like finagling this one tissue to try to make it so that the egg doesn't break.
Well, I mean, the egg was in its little carton situation that I had rigged up,
right?
You know, and I was just trying to like fill in the gaps at the last second. And then, you know, I remember Mr. Bragg was my teacher. Mr. Bragg was like, "All right, Danny, your turn." And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna fail!" and I threw it out. And you could hear it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
it was like crack on the. And I was like, "Well."
That's such a stupid project.
And meanwhile, other kids are building legit like helicopters.
right. Yeah, they build these helicopters that just like slowly fall to the ground.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the mid '90s. Someone built a drone that not only you know landed the egg safely, but then blew up a car. So
right. Oh man, Denny, are you just so the listeners know? Are you doing some off-season stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. I wrote a thing for RotoViz the other day about MFL 10 quarterback ADPs that make me mad online, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'll have maybe another one for RotoViz, just looking at some more quarterback stuff for MFL 10s. It's my off-season hobby right now.
Sweet. And as always, you can find my stuff over at numberfire.com. Not pumping out content, me personally, every day, but we have a ton of DFS content that's going out. A lot of good stuff this offseason. If you're playing NBA, MLB, DFS, definitely go to numberfire.com. And then I did some stuff I've done some random fantasy football articles, too. Over the offseason.
Not random. You did a really good one on, what was it, Devontae Freeman?
Yeah, it was looking basically at expected points based on ADP. So if you draft a guy at pick 73, how many points would you expect him to score at the running back position? And then taking that expected score and subtracting it from the amount of points that they actually scored. And what ended up showing was that Devontae Freeman was the best value that we've seen over the last 5 years in fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy. So if you got Devontae Freeman last year, then you probably weren't listening to this podcast.
Oh no, you were basking in glory all year.
Yeah, I mean, I hated the crap out of Devontae Freeman going.
God, me too. God.
Anyway, all right, guys, thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Living the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info, check out makegroundqb.com. Hope you come back soon as we share about the team.